Fred Greetham will be joining us here in just a moment. 216-578-0092. And I'm guessing he's a guy in his day. Fred, tattoo? Yes, no?
No.
No.
I'm kind of like with you. I don't want to put any unnecessary needles in me, and I don't want to also have something in there that maybe someday might not look so good when the muscles and the skin start sagging.
That usually makes them better. Fred Greetham joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Orange and Brown Report, Cleveland247sports.com as well. We always have Fred on to talk a little bit about the Browns. And before we get into the Browns, Fred, just yesterday's AFC, NFC championship games, both going into overtime, both having the excitement that we want to get back to. I was trying to compare it to the late 80s. Now, again, when the Browns were making three straight AFC championship games, I was 6, 7, and 8 years old. So it really didn't sink in. I always tell people I wish I was about 5 years older when that run started. Just take us back to how this city just went in complete lockdown mode, because all that mattered was the Browns and their dominance in the AFC.
Well, that's right, Gene. You know, as much as I feel like the Browns over the past 15, 20 years have tried to kill off Browns fans, they're still living off the interest from the 80s. Those were some of the most exciting days with Kozar, Slaughter, you know, and the gang. And, you know, you experience, a lot of the people experience the Cavs and the Cavs run, how great it was, and the parade. I still contend if the Browns were to have that parade that you'd probably have much, much bigger numbers. And it's always been a Browns town, you know. You know, in my life, sports talk shows, it just seems year-round there's always talk about Browns. And as bad as they've played in the last, you know, like I said, 15, 20 years, It's still there, you know. And it was exciting times. And I think that's what's exciting right now. I mean, I compared all year this year to that rookie year of Bernie Kosar when they went 8-8, slipped into the playoffs. You knew they weren't ready for the playoffs, but you knew they were ready to take off. And that's what I felt like the second half this year, that Mayfield, you have your quarterback finally. And even though they almost made the playoffs, they weren't ready for the playoffs, but I think they're ready to take off. And so it's exciting. You know, I don't know what'll happen the next, you know, couple years, but I think the window is opening, you know, for the Browns, and especially in the division.
Yeah, and that's something we're definitely going to touch on here in a moment. So as that second half went on for the Browns, you know, you had the coaching change midway through the year. Greg Williams comes in. Freddie Kitchen runs the offense. They have a phenomenal second half, 5-3, finish 7-8-1, as you mentioned. What was your thoughts, your direction before Freddie Kitchens was hired? Were you going in what route were you going? Go out and find someone new, let Williams and Kitchens continue to grow. I'm sure Kitchens wasn't, you know, the number one on your list, just like Dorsey didn't have him number one. Where were you when the season ended, that game after Baltimore, with the head coach?
Well, it started to unfold, you know, and they were going to open up the, you know, the process. I really, you know, and I'm not a 2020 hindsight guy. I actually wrote on January 4th that Freddie Kitchens is the best option, and then made the case for it 2 days before he was actually hired, just because I felt like the guys they were interviewing, they interviewed 7, and 5 of them were going to be first-time head coaches. The only 2 that had been head coaches were Greg Williams, and he wasn't going to be kept, and Caldwell, you know. And my thinking is, you got chemistry between the quarterback. It was the offense that really turned around, not so much the defense. They still finished 30th in the NFL. The offense turned around. Why would you take a chance on disrupting what Mayfield and Kitchens had done? And so I like the move, and I think that if you're going to have a young team growing into it, you know, why not have Freddie Kitchens grow into the job as well?
So what? Give me one thing, and Fred Greetham joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. From January 4th and watching the last couple of games, what is the one thing that you learned about Freddie Kitchens that maybe you didn't know that kind of stood out or made you start to think that, you know what, this is the guy that needs to stay with and stick with Baker Mayfield, and this is the guy at 44 years old that can take the Browns to levels they haven't been in 30 years?
Well, I just think back again. I mean, I'm dating myself, but back in 84 when Sam Ratigliano, who had been successful, was 1-7, they fired him and put Marty Schottenheimer in, and he went 4-4 the rest of the year, kind of relatively unknown young coach. And the next 3 out of the next 4 years, they went to the NFC or the AFC championship game. And I just felt like with Kitchens, you have a chance to grow into the job. You have somebody that has kind of been overlooked. There's guys we all know in our jobs that, you know, in walks of life that are competent, but sometimes maybe they're just not given the opportunity. And I just look at the opportunity he was given, same personnel, same everything. How can that offense look night and day different? Right. Because he tailor-made it to what he had. What a novel concept, playing to the strengths of what you have in your players. And so I just like his demeanor. I like he doesn't take himself seriously. I just like a lot of things, the way he handled. We saw him on a week-to-week in the press conferences when he started meeting with us as an offensive coordinator. Right. I just felt like he's capable.
Fred Greetham joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, talking a little bit about the Browns. You could find Fred at numerous places, also on Twitter as well. As we look ahead to 2019, we will have time to get into positions of need for the Browns. I think more of those might be coming on the defensive side. We had a caller earlier that wants to make sure they find a kicker, which I think they'll do. But I think we'll have plenty of time to talk about that coming up, Fred. So Freddie Kitchens, his staff, what do you think of this first-time head coach, this staff that he has assembled here in Cleveland? A lot of guys that have had coaching experience, some that have had coaching experience. What do you think about the staff that Freddie has surrounded himself with?
Well, I think it's pretty impressive. I mean, that was some of the things I heard. Well, what about if he becomes the head coach? I don't know if he'll be able to hire a head coaching staff or an assistant coaching staff. And he drew some pretty interesting individuals. You know, Monken was being interviewed for head coaching jobs, up-and-coming offensive coordinator. Wilkes was a head coach. Pryfer from Minnesota wanted to come here, the special teams coordinator. And then Campen, regarded as one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL, came from Green Bay. I just think that he's, you know, it looks pretty good on paper. You know, if you're going to put together a first-time staff, I think that it's impressive that a lot of these other coaches saw what was happening or what they think will happen here with the Browns and wanted to be a part of it. Because if the offense continues to do well, Monken will be in consideration for a head coaching job next year. Wilkes probably will get another opportunity. And so this gives you the chance to, you know, to build and grow. But I think it looks pretty good, you know, on paper, the people that he's attracted.
Right. And one thing you mentioned a little bit earlier is, you know, the perceived weakness of the AFC North. I mean, you could go back to when the Browns came back in 99, when it was still the AFC Central, where Jacksonville was running away with it year after year, or Tennessee. And then, of course, once they moved to the AFC North and the four divisions, it's been Pittsburgh, it's been Baltimore. Cincinnati has had, you know, a couple times here and there, but really Baltimore and Pittsburgh have been there year after year after year. Now that it's perceived weaker, this is the perfect opportunity for the Browns to strike now, correct?
I believe that wholeheartedly. I've said that, you know, even before the Browns made their run, is that the AFC North window is opening up. I feel the Steelers, until proven otherwise, but they have a lot going on over there with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and Ben Roethlisberger's 37 in a week or so. And I think as long as Roethlisberger's there, that they have an opportunity, but the window's closing with them. I think the Bengals, you know, with a new coach, they're starting over. They've been treading water. The Ravens won the division, and they did turn things around. But I was optimistic that Mayfield and Kitchens put 24 points against that top-rated defense, and I might be in the minority, but I still don't believe Lamar Jackson's a long-term answer until he can figure out how to throw the ball.
Now, Fred Greetham joining us, Orange and Brown Report, 24/7 sports, CLE 24/7 sports.com, joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And last thing for you, Fred, expectations for this coming season. We have to still get through free agency, get through the draft, but the excitement of coming off 5-3, 7-8-1, where are you at right now? And what would be maybe a high point for you, and what would be a disappointment for you with the expectations that you have for this team?
Well, I think, you know, this is a rare situation. Usually when you fire your coach, you're losing out of control and you skid through the rest of the season like we've seen so often with the Browns. This team finished 5-3, and we're really on the ascent. And so I think it's realistic, you know, to improve two or three games. You think early in the season, I can think of four games that they really should have won. You know, and 10, 11 wins, I don't think it's a stretch for next year. But it would be disappointing if they stay, you know, right where they are, if they were 6-10, 7-9. But I think that is, you know, you got a first-year coach in Freddie Kitchens with high expectations. You know, the bar was raised because of the second half of the season. So it will be quite interesting, but I'm very confident in what I've seen with John Dorsey in his first year when he took a shotgun approach. Really every position needed help. And now they can pinpoint their areas of weakness. They have $80 million and 10 draft picks. So I think the future is bright for the Browns because they have their quarterback in place. Most of the offseason they've been chasing, looking for a quarterback. And so, you know, I think playoffs really should be expected next year. And I think the best, quickest route is winning the AFC North.
Absolutely. Fred Greetham joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Fred Greetham. Where else can people find your work, Fred? Read your articles. Where do they need to go? What do they need to do?
Yeah, they can go to CLE247sports.com, or you can still get there, theobr.com.
Absolutely. Fred, thank you as always.
Hey, Gene, have a great day. Thanks for having me on.